This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. Hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, everyone, of course, is talking about Robin Williams. We will as well, but we'll try to better understand what to look for in our loved ones so we can help before it's too late. Plus, back-to-school tech gadgets and the new superfood is the old superfood. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is at Robin Williams' home in Northern California. She'll check in with us shortly. Plugged in and ready to rock, it's Jay Cappadonia.
I may have found hell on earth in a New York City music store. Details coming up.
And peddling his own brand of news, Chris Martin is here.
Here's a new way to try and get your stolen property back. Cleverly threaten the thief publicly, then let social media do the rest.
Ah, see, it all makes sense in this day and age. We're so glad you tuned in. We want to get things started right away. And, of course, everybody talking about the suicide of comic and dramatic actor Robin Williams, age of 63. He'd been dealing with depression and drug addiction throughout his life. It was no secret. It was in all of his comedy routines. He would speak publicly about it when he would visit the late night TV interview shows. And still, a lot of us didn't see this coming, including perhaps his family. We'll explore that a little later in the program. But the suicide, the death, happened at his home in Tiburon, which is in Northern California. And that's where we find our Jennifer Bjorklund. She's been there overnight working for the networks and reporting from the from in front of the home. And there was a news conference there earlier today. Jennifer, thank you. What did you learn today from the news conference?
We learned quite a bit, Phil. Actually, a lot of the reporters, especially the international correspondents from other countries, were very surprised at how much they revealed in the news conference about the manner of death, that he was found hanging with a belt in his bedroom with his clothes on and also already cold for the touch. So he apparently been dead for quite a while when he was discovered by a personal assistant who tried to knock on the door. He didn't answer around noon, and she forced her way in and then called 911 very frantically. Now, his wife had last seen him about 10:30 the night before. That would be Sunday night, and then she left the house thinking he was fine, sleeping in his room. Neighbors said that they saw her out walking her dog in the morning, and that nothing seemed amiss. So she didn't know anything was wrong until he failed to answer any knocks on the door by the personal assistant.
Interesting that they didn't know what each other was doing, and that begs the question, do we know now whether Robin Williams left some sort of message, a suicide note?
Well, they wouldn't say. The deputy coroner did not say if he left a note, wouldn't say. But it does appear that he may have tried other means as well. This is another detail that said there was a knife, a small kind of pocket knife near the body, and that there were some superficial cuts on the inside of his left wrist. So maybe he tried that and it didn't work. So they're testing the knife to see if it has any residual DNA on it, to see if maybe that was the case. But they won't say if he left any kind of note.
But were there any sorts of messages prior to that? Was there any social media indication? Did he give any clues to anybody that maybe he was determined to take his life?
No, none at all. And none that publicly we've heard of. In fact, his last social media contact, kind of like a throwback picture of his daughter, from when she was a little girl. She's in her 20s now. So, nothing outwardly that would be obvious, no warning sign that would be obvious to somebody. And, they say that oftentimes it's people that aren't the closest that notice the changes. Like when you see someone every day, you don't notice they gain weight or lose weight. When someone's getting a little more depressed, you might not notice. But it's people outside that sort of get the bigger picture of what's going on. So, if he didn't have a lot of people sort of at arm's length, then he just stayed home with the people who were closest to him. Maybe that's what happened. Nobody can really differentiate when someone really takes a turn, their depression, when they're publicly depressed. Like, he has acknowledged that he had depression ancestors with these problems. And he'd gone in for a refresher course on the rehab a few months ago as well. So, you know, it really is hard to say if there were any warning signs of it, you know, looking back, what could we have done, you know? And I think that makes you figure you got to just watch the people that you know suffer from depression and wrestle with those demons and just be really vigilant.
Hey, Jen, when you are talking to the reporters out there in the pool, because we see the pictures coming from outside the house and there's just a massive amount of, you know, media out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've all worked in the news business for a long time. This seems to be one of the most heartfelt losses that Hollywood has had in the past 10 or 15 years. Like, what's the scuttlebutt around the reporter pool?
You know, it is a different, and Jay, that's a really astute observation from a member of the press corps. You know what it's like. There's sort of gallows humor always. There's a sort of jocularity. It's like you see people you haven't seen for a while since the last big story, and you talk about things. There's really none of that. People really are truly grief-stricken, even the hardened press, you know, and the foreign press that's come into town. You know, they're shaking their heads. People are speaking in hushed tones, trying to be respectful of the neighborhood. And it's so difficult in these situations because there are a lot of people that are happy to see us there and want to talk to us and ask us what we've heard. And then there are the people that really just hate the fact that we're parked out in front of his house. And frankly, we kind of hate it too. But, you know, if we weren't there, then people would say we didn't care enough. So it is a tough balancing act. But the press corps is definitely feeling it because Robin Williams was a friend of the media. He was always, always happy to, you know, grab a photographer and take a picture with them and talk to a reporter and make good on a promise for an interview. You know, he was just that kind of guy.
Jennifer, thank you for checking in on this. We know you've been working around the clock since yesterday, and so get some rest, hop on a plane, and come on home, will you?
Yeah, I'm just about to. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. And so in a little bit, after our first break, we will speak with a doctor who's going to give us a little more insight on what leads people to this point so that we can get the warning signs and be able to step in before it's too late. But before we do that, why don't we just shift from fourth gear to first and throw you up into the dashboard. We'll collect you off of the windshield. And now we have this story from Jay.
That's what we do on this show.
It is. It's called a variety show.
So I am not a fan of the music stores, the guitar centers, the Sam Ash, the whatever else is out there. Because you walk in, and I'm sure that 90,000 people walk in there, and they think that they are Slash, and they pick up a guitar,
yeah,
and they start to play, and they start to, oh, I don't like this one, man, so I'm going to try this one, dude. And then the guy on the drums in the corner, it becomes a racket. But we live in a relatively small area. So you find a store in Cerritos, or you find a store in Redondo, or some place like that, and you go in, there's maybe like 10 guys playing. The music store chain Guitar Center. Are you guys familiar with this?
Sure. Heard of them before.
Okay.
One or two shops.
Yeah.
Mom and pop.
It's one of those deals where there's a real big one over on Sunset Boulevard. The deal is that you can walk in, you can pick up any instrument and play it. You can pick up a $5,000 guitar that you have no intention of playing and play it. Well, the store had the bright idea of opening one in Times Square.
Oh, nobody goes there.
Where there is massive amounts of people.
Humanity.
One guy walked in with his cell phone and decided to take video. Here's a clip.
That's the Guitar Center, Jay?
That's the Guitar Center, Phil.
Where is it again?
It's in Times Square.
What?
I love the guy in the back who just thinks he's just rocking out with everybody.
What'd you say?
I said the guy in the back's rocking out.
You want to get out?
I want to get out.
All right, let's pull the plug. All right, oh.
Can you imagine that? There's like 50 to 60 people in there, and they've all got guitars, they've all got drums, they've all got keyboards, and they're all just playing as best as they can.
That's what you call a cacophony.
Oh, I'll call it terrible.
Yeah.
That's what I call it.
How do you buy any? It's probably a haven for pickpockets.
You think?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. You're overusing one of your senses. you're overwhelmed with your hearing. You lose your sense of feeling.
Yeah.
You don't notice your wallet exiting your back pocket because you're just bombarded with the hearing thing.
Can you believe that, though? I mean, putting a music store or putting a store where people can, like, use instruments in a massively populated area like Times Square, bad choice.
On the topic of thievery, Chris, you've got a guy who very well might get his stuff back.
Yeah, there's a 23-year-old college graduate who had his bike stolen at a train station. So he went back to the bike rack, and he left a letter that has now gone viral. The letter says, "Dear D-bag bike thief, you stole my bike last night. I was ticked off about this until I realized that your face was all over the security camera at the station. Also, you might not have known this, but this is not the first bike I've had stolen, so I put a tracer inside the frame of this one. Now I know where you live. Please return the bike before the end of this week, and that will be the end of it. Sincerely, poor student with no money but a working printer."
Where did he put this, and how does he expect the guy to see it?
He put it back on the bike rack where the bike was originally stolen, and I'm assuming that he feels that this thief might be a repeat offender. He'll come back to the location of his crime.
Well, the fact that you know about it means that perhaps it went onto the internet and the social media, and it went viral, and everybody on the planet knows about
it. That's where we find everything. He did PS with, "In case you've stolen more than one bike recently, mine was the Gray Giant."
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
Yeah. They use the old internet there to hopefully he'll get his bike back. Hey, what are the signs a loved one has hit rock bottom? And like Robin Williams, is ready to end it all. What you need to know next here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is more than likely taking a nap after spending the entire night up there in Tiburon where Robin Williams took his life. She's been reporting from out front of his house out there. Jay Capadonia is here, so is Chris Martin. We want to understand what it is that that led Robin Williams to want to end it all so that we could recognize this in our own loved ones before it's too late. Professor Jay Singh is a Washington, D.C.-based expert on suicide, mental illness, research, and treatment. Third-generation American, CEO of the Global Institute of Forensic Research, grew up in the U.S., received a Ph.D. in psychiatry from Oxford, and has served as senior clinical researcher for the Swiss Department of Justice in Zurich, as well as clinical associate at Yale School of Medicine. He's officially the smartest guy to ever be on this program.
Jeez.
But under the circumstances, we needn't make any jokes. Professor Singh, thank you very much. I think it's safe to say most of us don't understand depression and mental illness, and I bet a lot of people who have it don't understand it. What's the basic understanding we should have about the kind of mental illness that can drive us to suicide?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. Absolutely. When we talk about a term like depression, or the big word, I think, of the day when we're talking about Mr. Williams' bipolar disorder, oftentimes what happens is that a lot of people don't understand the difference between, you know what, somebody's just going through a rough patch in their life. We've all got our highs. We've all got our lows. What's the difference between just going through a rough patch and clinical depression? This is really a big question, particularly because this is a buzzword. This is a word that we typically use in our day-to-day speech. It's part of the lingo that we use. Really, the key here is to be able to draw that line in the sand between what is perhaps a normal experience and what is something that is potentially clinically diagnosable as depression. And really, the way that we do that is by taking into consideration whether or not those signs and symptoms of depression you have, so not just low mood, but lacking the kind of appreciation and enjoyment of leisure activities, recreational activities that you had enjoyed in the past, having difficulties eating, so lack of appetite, difficulty sleeping, so insomnia, and all these things really have to meet three criteria. First criteria is that these signs and symptoms have to significantly interfere with your ability to socialize. The second is with your ability to go to work. And the third is your ability to get educated if you're at that point in your life. Now, if you actually see that these signs and symptoms are presenting a major obstacle there, this is when we would actually draw that line in the sand and say, you know what, this is probably someone who we should try to help.
What's the difference between somebody who doesn't seem motivated to get up to go to work or go to school versus somebody who maybe, I don't know, wants to catch up on all nine seasons of Mad Men or whatever it is in a marathon viewing session? Is that the way that people mask their depression? Hey, look, I am actually engaged in something. You just may not be into it, but that's what I'm doing right now.
Sure. The key difference here, I think, is that when we talk about depression or bipolar disorder, these are actually biological illnesses, similar to something like cancer or something like a cardiac problem, so a cardiovascular problem, heart problem. And a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think that depression is almost a character flaw. It's almost a form of weakness.
Yeah, we're not qualified to diagnose this. We see that and we say, come on, buck up. You can get through this.
Sure, exactly. Buck up, snap out of it. What are you thinking? Life's not so hard. We hear about a case like Robin Williams and we say, listen, buddy, you were wealthy. You had so many people who loved you. You had this amazing family. And at the end of the day, these kinds of responses, even though they're completely the natural responses to have, it's really something where at the end of the day, the important thing to keep in mind is that when it comes to mood disorders like depression or bipolar disorder, what we're talking about is a set of disorders that are characterized by irrational thought patterns. And so because of that, the style in which an individual with depression or bipolar disorder thinks is inherently irrational. So it's something where we who do not have these diagnoses, we're trying to impose oftentimes our way of thinking onto these inherently irrational thinking styles. And because of that, we have that natural tendency to say, hey, buck up.
Yeah.
What's wrong here?
Particularly challenging with a guy like Robin Williams who, just if you hear something irrational, a thought pattern from him, you might think it's a great comic riff.
But a joke. Sure.
Yeah, but you know what? When you look at somebody like Robin Williams, he was dealing with both the depression and the bipolar, but he also had a problem with addiction, which is a bigger demon.
Sure. Honestly, when we combine these two together, that is the biggest demon of all. What we know from many decades of research is that regardless of whether we're talking about self-harm and suicides or hurting oneself or hurting other people, so more interpersonal violence, when you take an individual diagnosed with a major mental illness like bipolar disorder, and then you add to that drug or alcohol abuse, really it's a very dangerous combination. And when we combine these two together, the likelihood of suicide or interpersonal violence really goes through the roof compared to either of them alone.
What's an appropriate intervention when you're convinced something has to be done?
Sure. So there's really two different forms of intervention. The first are what we would call pharmacological interventions. These are different kinds of drugs. There's something like lithium or an antidepressant, an anticonvulsive. These are all evidence-based methods when it comes to treating bipolar disorder. There's also, though, a form of therapy. It's called cognitive behavioral therapy. Some people refer to it as its acronym, which is CBT. It's a form of talk therapy that really tries to change these irrational thought patterns and help people to gain insight into why their thinking styles may not actually be reflective of reality.
Is this on the couch with the shrink, that old thing?
Sure. So this is, it's certainly, when I say traditional psychotherapy, what I mean is that CBT is not something that is inherently pharmaceutical. It's something where you will be sitting down working with a therapist. We very rarely, if ever, use the couches these days.
No kidding. Really, okay. See, and one would just gather that a guy like Robin Williams was probably in therapy.
I would say the likelihood is high. It certainly seems from the evidence that we have right now that, you know, going to rehab is such a brave thing to do. And for him to maintain his sobriety for so many years, it really must have been a day-to-day challenge. And so for him to be checking into rehab every few years to be able to maintain that sobriety is something that definitely has to be respected, and he certainly would have received psychotherapeutic resources.
Dr. Singh, we just have a little time left. What advice would you give family members who think they need to intervene, they need to act, but they need advice on how to approach that?
Sure. So there are two things that I would say here in our remaining time. I would say number one is really, when I say don't worry, what I mean is that a lot of people see an incident like this, a very tragic incident, and automatically jump to the conclusion that all individuals, including their loved ones or friends who have a diagnosis of major depression or bipolar disorder, are inherently at extremely high risk of self-harm or suicide, and that's simply not the case. So simply keeping an eye out all the time, being wary, being cautious of your friends and loved ones, that's not something that's really necessary.
Yeah.
But if you do really suspect that there's something going on, it's not a bad idea to call the police and to request a psychiatric evaluation to see whether or not something like involuntary hospitalization may be something that's needed in order to protect this person from themselves.
Professor Jay Singh, expert on suicide, mental illness, bipolar, addiction, all of that. Thank you very much for giving us some insight into that. Up next, school started today at the LAUSD. 630,000 kids out of your hair, but they're going to want gadgets when they get home. You'll hear about that next. And As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. So glad you tuned in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. We're going to help you out here if you're parents of school-age kids, because today was the first day of school at the LAUSD. That's a lot of children, 630,000 plus. And not sure how many of them are getting the iPads handed out. I know the LAUSD has a plan for something like that. Joining us live to talk about tech gadgets for back to school is the associate editor at Cool Mom Tech and a contributor at Mashable, Gina Lee Tank. GinaTank.com, JEANATAHNK. Gina, nice to talk with you once again.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Good. Hey, what are some of the basic must-have items for school kids today?
Gosh, there's so many great tech items coming out on the market, and a lot of them are what I call app-cessories, which means that you have a piece of a physical device, but you need a smartphone or tablet to operate it. And one of the neat products that I wanted to talk about is by a company called JBL, which I'm sure you've heard of. They're
such
a high quality audio brand. And JBL has a really neat speaker called the JBL Pulse. And this is a wireless Bluetooth speaker that really is, it's so compact. It's about the size of a soda can. But what's really neat about it for kids is that when you turn it on, it completely lights up and it's encircled with, it's encased in lights. And the lights just respond to the music that it's playing. And so it's a really great tool for kids.
You got your own little disco party, EDM party at the cafeteria.
It sounds like a seizure waiting to happen.
Well, the good thing is you can use an app to control the way that the lights move, and you can control the different colors of the lights, and it's really neat. So if kids want to have some background music, you know, they've said that classical music helps kids learn, though I don't know how much kids are listening to classical music nowadays. But, you know, you can also use it as motivation to have a dance party once kids are actually done with their homework.
Whoa. If that happens. We're looking at pictures of that right now. It is a dance party ready to go. Does it have a teacher is coming button on it so you can just hit the switch, right?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Here comes the noon aid. Quick, Hit the button. Hit the button on the app. All right. So we believe some of the students at the LAUSD were given iPads or other tablets this week as part of a $40 million plan. Or that could blossom to $500 million worth of technology. We're not going to discuss whether that's a great idea. But for those students, buying a tablet is probably out of the question. And you're a tech mom. You know what kids need these days. Do you think it's better off to get a laptop where they can get the functionality they need for school, or would you go with a tablet? What's your thinking?
It's tough. I mean, it really depends on the age of the student and how the device will be used. There are actually a lot of products now called two-in-ones, which means that it's a laptop and a tablet in one. So the screen detaches and becomes its own tablet. So those are really growing in popularity just because of that purpose. It kind of mixes that educational and entertainment aspect in one. And I'm finding a lot of other gadgets that are coming out like that as well. Like another product that I think is so neat, it's called the Sphero 2.0. And this is a ball that is actually the size of a baseball. And it's a robotic ball that's completely controlled by a smartphone or tablet. And it comes with 30 different apps that you can use to either play games, or it's pretty amazing what these apps can do. You can either turn the lights on the ball. You can have it spin around, go in different directions, and it actually goes up to 7 feet per second, which is pretty fast. And Sphero comes with these ramps that kids can use to kind of launch the ball off of, and there's an accessory to put on it, a rubber accessory, so that kids can go outside and go off-roading with this ball. So it's pretty crazy.
It's about the size of a baseball, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and it's like it's the next version of the remote control car.
You know what I would do? I'd secretly replace the balls at Chuck E. Cheese with these.
That is brilliant.
Would that be a fun party?
That would be awesome.
Hey, I'm the party dad. This is where the party starts, right here with me.
Right, and have them all light up.
Yeah, I love that. So you could put that Sphero and your Pulse, your JBL Pulse speaker in your backpack. Are there tech-ready backpacks these days where you can plug and charge and all of that sort of thing?
There are. There are charging backpacks now, just because kids and adults, I think, are traveling with so many different devices at once. So in addition to charging backpacks, there are also a whole slew of mobile chargers, which are great. I have a bunch of those myself, which is so handy when you look at your phone and you see the less than 10% alert. Then there's no need to worry when you have one of these mobile chargers in your bag.
Yeah, you got to be prepared. And another thing, I wonder about this, and I'm just thinking off the cuff here. Should we get our kids used to storing their reports, assuming that's what they're using their technology for, their schoolwork, storing their reports on the cloud so they can access and print their files from wherever they are?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think if most computers nowadays come with ample amounts of storage, even up to terabytes, which is pretty crazy, the amount that they can hold. But I think for students who are on the go and who want to be able to access things like papers and reports from not only their laptop, but their tablet or their smartphone, then having a cloud-based solution is certainly an option. A lot of them do have those mobile apps that allow you to access everything remotely.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for bringing us up to speed, Gina Lee Tank. She's the tech mom, and her website again is ginatank.com, and we'll put a link on the links page. Thank you for bringing us up to speed. Back to school tech. Good to know stuff right there. So we have a moment before we take our next break, and I want to catch up on a couple of other stories that we find are really important, including this guy that had an interesting disguise before he attempted a crime.
Okay. He really did. This guy down in San Diego, down in Claremont, walked into a Big Lots store, this is a couple months ago, and he took a child-sized Barbie dress costume off the shelves and went into the men's dressing room. Oh, then he proceeded to put it on.
Oh, no.
Then he snuck into the women's fitting room and waited for a woman to come in. She came in. A woman walked into the dressing room, and he slid underneath the fitting room door there.
Ooh.
And tried to assault her. She fought him off and took off. The guy then went back into the men's fitting room, put his clothes on, and just walked out of the store.
Nonchalant?
Nonchalant. Well, his preliminary trial started yesterday. The guy's pled not guilty. He's been ordered to stand trial for attempted sexual assault. But here's the greatest thing about this is now there is surveillance video.
Oh, no. I'm looking at it right now. That thing didn't fit him very well,
did
it?
It didn't fit at all. I mean, it covers the vital areas, but then it only goes about halfway up his hairy chest, and it's a hot pink Barbie dress.
What is this dirtbag thinking?
I don't know. When the guy took off, he allegedly flashed a screwdriver as part of a weapon to the security guard, and they arrested him a few blocks later.
My apologies to dirtbags. He's a sleazebag.
He is. Exactly. are we going to post this, the surveillance
video? In fact,
video?
That's where somehow it got on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. There's a link right there, so click on it, and it's a link to a NBCSanDiego.com, so you can see it from them, and they make that available to us. So
it's a terrible story, but the visual is phenomenal.
Well, the victim gets away. She was not necessarily victimized, other than the creep factor. The guy comes underneath the right.
Yeah, it seems like this story has a happy ending. We get a creep off the street. Nobody was hurt,
and there's video to watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thanks for pointing that out, Chris. And also, you know, before we go to the break, we can't get away without talking about the lactating pothead.
Yeah, there's a new mom in Portland, Oregon. She was banned from breastfeeding her preemie baby because she is a regular user of marijuana. Now, she says there's several studies that indicate that the properties of pot cannot be transferred through the milk ducts. Your body automatically kind of filters it out.
Are those her words?
Those are her words.
That's a quote.
Now,
okay.
The Oregon hospital quickly caved in on their decision. They allowed her to breastfeed as long as she signed a waiver acknowledging the potential risks. But she refuses to quit smoking pot. She said her midwife prescribed it to her for anxiety and nausea, and she will continue to do it.
They have midwives still? Really?
In Oregon, they do, apparently.
They don't have those in California, right?
I think you can get a midwife if you want one.
Sure.
If you're rich, if you're rich and famous, you definitely
No, you're rich and famous, you get midwife. An au pair. Just remember that.
Au pair?
Au pair. When you get to be rich and, you know, and there's a nanny in the house, you get yourself an au pair. Look
it's
that up.
It's called an au pair.
I will look that up.
Yeah. They're usually from Sweden.
Do they come equipped with pot?
No.
Okay.
And they don't lactate.
Oh.
So you don't have to worry about either of those things.
What's the point, then?
I don't know. Hey, while we're on the topic, are you ready to get your Frika on? I think I pronounced that right. It's Frika. It's supposed to be the new superfood. And up next, we'll learn all about it together and how to cook with it for a healthier you and your family. Frika. Next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, it's time to get healthy on the program. You're listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin are here. Jennifer Bjorklund will be back tomorrow unless she gets called out for some other breaking news, which is essentially what happened today. She's been in Tiburon as of yesterday until today when we spoke to her earlier in the program out at Robin Williams' home. But we want to hear about superfoods. You hear about this all the time, right? And apparently there are a bunch of superfoods out there. We just haven't even discovered most of them. And here to speak with us about the latest superfood is the author of the Frika cookbook, Bonnie Matthews. Hi, Bonnie. Did I say it right? Frika?
You sure did, Phil. Hey, thanks so much for having me today.
All right. So the way I understand this is, before we figure out what Frika is, It's new, but it's really very old, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a roasted ancient grain that's been around from the Middle East for about 3,000 years. And you can find it in a lot of Middle Eastern grocery stores over the last few years. But it's just coming into the mainstream now. It's a really nice, healthy alternative to brown rice. And it's delicious. And it's got like 3 times the protein and fiber as brown rice. So it's a really delicious alternative. And it's got more protein.
How about the carbos of the rice? Do you get rid of that?
You know, it still has carbs, but it's a good complex carb. So it's considered low glycemic. So folks who are like, you know...
Well, yeah, I see what I know what you're saying, because the white rice versus the brown rice, if you are hypoglycemic like moi, if you don't get enough protein in your meal, half an hour later you're shaking and sweating and you can't concentrate.
Exactly. Like it's got actually the same protein and fiber as quinoa, which is another great ancient grain. So
they
got
to have all these funny names, frika,
yeah,
and quinoa.
And they all just sound like they taste great.
Yeah, but see, quinoa is a great Scrabble word.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, is frika in the Scrabble dictionary? We need to check that.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, but see, you and I both know, and we'll have the leg up when that opportunity comes along. That's a lot of ease. F-R-E-E-K-E-H. And so, is it fluffy like rice, too?
You know, it's not quite as fluffy. It's a little chewier and a little nuttier than brown rice.
Now, what constitutes a superfood? Why do we call it that?
You know, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics are calling frika a superfood because it actually contains a lot of prebiotic components, so it helps the natural flora in your gut, and it also has a lot of antioxidants in it, according to them.
Anything I can do to help the flora in my gut, I'm going to...
There you go, right?
I'm going to check that out. Just ask the guys here in the room.
Yeah, you don't need any help.
All right, so what if we're going to cook with it, now you have the frika cookbook, what do you put it in? Lasagna?
You can put it in just about anything. Any kind of recipe that calls for rice or quinoa or even couscous, which is highly processed, as you know, you can use frika for any of those types of things.
So more Mediterranean-style cooking, is that what
Absolutely.
You mean?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. All kinds of things like tabbouleh, you know, cold salads, that kind of stuff.
Can I put it in a burrito?
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about. Now I'm on board.
Is there a frika burrito recipe in your cookbook?
There sure is.
Ooh. Oh, look at that.
Breakfast burrito.
What kind of burrito?
It's a breakfast burrito because it's great. It's so hearty. Like instead of putting, you know, ground beef or ground turkey, you can use, you know, beans. And
well, wait. Let's not go too far here, lady.
Oh, the ground turkey?
You got to put something in there, don't you?
Come on. You can do meatless Monday. Come on.
All right.
All right. Can this help you lose weight?
Hey, you know, it helped me lose a bunch of weight. I've lost over 100 pounds.
What, 100 pounds?
Heck yeah. It's really good to eat clean, and frika helped me do that. So.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So do you have to grow this? You said it's at some of the Middle Eastern grocery stores. There aren't a lot of those in some neighborhoods.
It's actually in mainstream health food stores like Whole Foods, Mother's, Sprouts, places like that nationwide now.
So you pay a premium for that for the time being, or do you think it's going to...
At the moment, since it's fairly new in the market, it is organic and non-GMO, so it's a little bit higher, but I don't know, it's about 80 cents per serving, so it's about comparable to quinoa.
Can I grind it up and put it in my milkshake?
You know, I wouldn't recommend it.
No? Okay.
There's lots of good stuff you can put in your milkshake.
You know, go to the gym with that shake, you know, that like people think you're drinking something healthy that's going to put the
like
bulk
gym powder,
on your muscles.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't do that. Okay.
Nah, I wouldn't do it.
All right, so if we flip through the frika cookbook, where do you think we'd want to start? What's your favorite starter frika meal?
Well, you know, something just as simple as just a bag of really yummy frozen peas and some coconut oil and frika, just as a side to sort of get your appetite wet. But then you can move on down to the yummy paella. Like I do a killer 30-minute paella that's delicious.
Ooh. What goes into paella? Some shrimp and some...
Some shrimp and some yummy, you know, all-natural andouille sausage and some saffron and the frika, and you just put it all in one skillet. You can even do it on the grill. In a skillet on the grill, and it's delicious.
That's about $40 worth of ingredients right there, the saffron and the shrimp, right?
Oh, heck no.
No?
you can do it on a budget, yeah.
Oh, good. All right.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the frika cookbook is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, and it does look interesting, and we all want to get healthy, and we're all looking for alternatives to what we're eating now. And frika sounds delicious.
It's pretty darn good.
Can you deep fry it?
No, come on.
What can't you deep fry? Hey, Bonnie, are you hoping for the type of success that we've seen Kale have lately with your Frika?
You know, it sure would be awesome. You know, my goal is really I just want to get people inspired about cooking healthy, and Frika is a nice vehicle to add into your diet. So, yeah, sure, of course. I'm hoping people will catch on to it. It's going to take some time.
We'll check it out.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right, Bonnie, thank you. Again, her cookbook is the Frika cookbook. That's F-R-E-E-K-E-H. Spelled backwards, it's Hakir.
Sounds like it gives you a lot of energy. That woman was bouncing off the wall.
I'll say. Well, jeez. I mean, look, imagine you would have a lot of energy if you keep remembering that you just lost 100 pounds. How great is that, huh? If you've got 100 pounds to lose and you lose it, eating Frika?
Getting a Frika on?
Yes.
That's right. Frika awesome.
But
that wasn't bad.
What if you like pizza, Jay?
Now you're talking my language here.
Yeah?
Being the Italian in the room, now you're talking my language. But one guy in Massachusetts working at a pizzeria is facing deportation.
Why?
He's a Greek pizza maker. And he came over from Greece, and the owners of the pizza restaurant actually signed his papers, saying that his visa paper, saying that he has special skills when tossing the dough.
He's a pizza tosser?
He's a showman.
Oh.
When he tosses your dough.
He flips it in the air, spins around a couple times, catches it behind the back, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. He does all of these things. Well, come to find out, he does not toss any dough.
Uh-oh.
He admitted it in a recent appeal or a second appeal process for his visa. And he told the guy, the border agent, basically, he says, look, I actually don't do that. I'm really sorry.
He went to the magistrate who said, show me your dough tossing expertise. And he couldn't come up with anything.
Guy's been in the country for 20 years.
And he's got nothing.
He's got nothing. So he better learn how to toss some dough really fast because there's one more appeals. But he could face deportation back to his home country.
But he's been here for 20 years.
Yep.
That's quite a work visa.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
It pays to make pizza. Pizza makes everybody happy.
It does.
Hey, where's your papers? Hold on. I got a slice of pepperoni, huh?
Yeah.
Is that better?
It's got Frika on it. Maybe not. Hey, we love your comments. We have an email address. It's feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're at As We See It Show, facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer. Our production assistant and assistant in training both forgot to show up today. We'll try to mention them tomorrow. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.